Ofwat, the regulator of the water sector in England and Wales, have been coming under pressure to allow water companies to increase price rise by near 50% in the near future. Thames Water is also considering a rise of 40%, whilst its parent company is on the verge of facing liquidation. Southern Water requested Ofwat last October to increase its bill by 66% on top of the rise in inflation. It may not be of surprise to anyone that we're seeing an accumulation of bad debts held by water companies due to consumers unable to afford to pay for the cost of water whilst they are not allowed to disconnect water supplies. What does the current state of affairs say about the nation as a whole, and most importantly, the vulnerability of our customers? Welcome to Debt Talk Podcast with me, your host, Ripon Ray. This time, I'm going to speak about another important subject, UK waters and our bills. Before we speak about the topic, let me introduce you to my panelists. I have Eugenio Bocciari, Senior Lecturer at Royal Holloway, University of London, who conducts research on sustainable restructuring procedures, particularly with reference to local entities experiencing financial stress. And finally, Andrew White, Senior Leader for Social Policy of the Council for Consumer Water, which represents the interest of consumers in the water sector. My panelists are also to provide Debt Talk listeners with top tips for those who are genuinely, yes, genuinely considering laying the seed for policy change in this subject. So let me get Eugenio Bocciari into the conversation, who actually knows about the legal framework in which the water companies work, since Thames Water's parent company is going on the verge of administration. Before we explore it in detail, can you tell us briefly, Eugenio, what is actually happening with the water company and its parents' company?
Thanks, Ripon, for having me here, and welcome everyone, and thanks for listening to this podcast. Let me start by answering your question. Thames Water is a British private utility company that is responsible for the water supply and the wastewater treatment in most of Greater London and the neighbouring areas. We're speaking of roughly of one-fifth of the UK's population. Thames Water is owned by Campbell Water Group, which is in turn owned by some of the biggest pension and sovereign wealth funds in the world. One of the company's main shareholders is the university's superannuation scheme. It's roughly 20% of Campbell that is owned by USS. Therefore, I must disclose that I have a vested interest in this case because as an academic, as most of us, we are a member of USS. Now, when Thames Water was privatized in 1989, the company was debt-free. The previous owner, the Australian firm Macquarie, not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, probably your Australian audience will correct me on that, took out nearly $3 billion in dividends and allowed its debt pile to triple between 2006 and 2017. Some dividends were paid not to external shareholders, but to companies within the group. Now, nowadays, both Campbell and Thames Water are struggling financially due to the excessive debt accumulated in previous years. And recently, Campbell defaulted on interest payments on existing loans, and it is intense negotiations with Ofwat, which is the water regulator here in the UK, to obtain concessions to pump much needed cash into Thames Water. You mentioned those concessions earlier on, Ripon, so thanks for that. So as a result, to summarize, both Campbell and Thames Water are in some financial troubles.
But speaking of Thames Water, is it actually working on deficit budget or what?
Now, license conditions do require companies to consider protection of consumers, customers, and the environment before they pay dividends, and also to ensure their financial resilience over the long term. Ofwat has been critical of the way in which Thames Water has been run and was run in particular in the past, and it has already taken enforcement actions over their failure to reduce leakages and impose penalties for not cutting pollution or improving customer service. Now, this has prompted a change in management last year and the development of a new turnaround plan. However, Ofwat has not yet removed the license from Thames Water, and there are no talks of at the moment of removing the license from Thames Water. Thames Water is still profitable, but the debt pile is increasing. So if you look at the financial results for last year, the debt pile was 13.9 billion. And the interim results for this financial year suggest that the debt liabilities have risen to 14.7 billion. However, there are suggestions that the debt is actually higher, and it's around 18 billion pounds. But even if we look at the more conservative figures, that means that profits in a year, profits have reduced by 57%, and debt has increased by 7%. Now, most of this debt is in capital investment. So this means that the company will benefit from these investments in the long term if they generate the return that they expect. It's always, I mean, like, difficult to determine if they will generate enough return to cover for the costs that were needed for the realization. Now, Thames Water parent company has suggested that they could inject £3 billion in the company to make sure that it can proceed over the next few years. However, they have put conditions, including a 40% above inflation increase in bills. And they, as I said, they are still negotiating with Ofwat whether this is possible or not. And the news of today, 16 May, is that the board members at companies connected to Campbell are expected to resign after the company said that they will not commit to inject these funds. So the situation is very fluid, and I can't answer with a yes or no on whether, I mean, the company is going to be, I mean, extremely financially distressed or not in the long term. But at the moment, Thames Water is still a profitable company, even if with a huge debt pile.
We are talking about debt pile. We're not quite sure if it's going through liquidation. Perhaps there could be potential, but what does it mean actually for the layperson?
Well, it depends from which perspective you are looking at this issue. For consumers, there is no risk that they will be left without water or sewage services. So this is the good news. For everyone else, we need to look at the law. And the law has been recently reformed at the beginning of 2024. This law does apply only to the part of the group, of the Campbell Group, that provides water and wastewater treatment. So basically only to to Thames Water, not to the rest of the companies in the Campbell Group. This law does provide for a special administration procedure, which can be triggered by the Secretary of State for Environment and Rural Affairs, or by the regulator, Ofwat. Now, they can trigger this procedure only if one of two conditions are met. The first one is that Thames Water is insolvent, which, as I said, is not yet the case. And the second one is that Thames Water is unable or likely to become unable to meet their statutory obligations, including those of not polluting the environment, for instance. Now, if an administrator order is made, then an administrator is appointed. The administrator will run the company and will discharge the company's environmental obligations. Now, in this context, four options are possible. The first one is the company is rescued. So the administrator rescues the company. This is turned around. And as I said, this was not possible before 2024. The second option, this option is only available if the company enters into the procedure because it is insolvent, which, as I said, is not the case at the moment. The second option is the hive down. This basically means that the good assets of the company are transferred to a different company, and this company is sold to a new buyer. And this is possible only if Thames Water enters into administration on performance ground. In either of these cases, so insolvency or performance, it's always possible for Thames Water to be liquidated. So what is transferred is not a smaller company, but the assets to a new buyer. The fourth option, which is invented as an option mainly by the opposition party at the moment, is nationalization. Now, nationalization will involve an act of parliament, This will require the establishment of a new company as a holding vehicle before the transfer of equity, debt, and all the assets are transferred to that company. Now, the government will need to issue bonds to pay for the shares in Thames Water, and they will also have to pay market value for the company. So they will basically be acquiring the company and its debt in change, and this will be transferred to a new company created by the government. So these are the four main options available on the table: rescue, hive down, liquidation, or nationalisation.
So in other words, what impact would that have then on shareholders, the company itself, and most importantly, consumers? Are we still expecting price hike?
Well, I mean, I will let Andy answer about the price hikes, but from my perspective, it seems to me that price hikes are kind of inevitable. But I mean, again, I will let Andy comment on that. In terms of shareholders, they are in the worst possible position right now, because if the company is restructured, if the company is hived down, if this company is liquidated, basically their investment will be wiped out. We might not be particularly sympathetic to shareholders, but always remember that if shareholders lose an investment, that this may have consequences on the shareholders. So for instance, if USS loses that investment, it's likely that USS, the university superannuation scheme, will ask funders, universities, and workers, staff academics, to increase their contribution to pay for failed investment. In terms of consumers, as I said before, the service will continue to be provided. In terms of workforce, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't say, and I don't want to scaremonger anyone. I don't want to say there will be mass redundancies or things like that. I hope that there won't be, and they appear unlikely at the moment. Let's say that if the company is nationalized, it's likely that the loss or the reduction in workforce will be lower than if it is sold to new private investors. In terms of consumers, as I said, besides an increase in prices, which I think it is kind of unavoidable, they should not see significant changes to the way in which the service is provided. Even if you all hope that the leakages of untreated wastewater in the Thames will be reduced in the years to come.
Where does the regulator Ofwat fit into the picture, and how it works in the market to keep the eye on the companies and whether the companies are fit for purpose?
Well, Ofwat has a very difficult task, and arguably it might not have all the powers that it needs to carry out this task. They act mainly to ensure that consumers are protected and environment are protected and that a reliable service is provided. As of 2024, Ofwat has been given new powers to impose fines of up to 10% of the company's turnover for breaches of license conditions, and particularly for poor consumer service. Ofwat had acted also in the past against the mainland water companies. If you look at the Ofwat's website, there are 10 enforcement cases published, and four of them affect Thames waters. So they are trying to make sure that actually companies do deliver on the licenses that they signed, but they face an uphill battle. I also want to say that Ofwat covers England and Wales, and there are different regulators for Scotland and Northern Ireland.
And finally, Eugenio, is there not an expectation that companies usually work on some bad debt in the market?
Well, I guess that there is. I honestly want to say that Thames Water is probably trying hard to meet the standard of service that they committed to deliver, and they have undertaken a turnaround plan. So compared to last year when the management was replaced, the situation is slowly but steadily improving. This might have come probably a bit too late, because now there is the big problem of the huge debt pile. So it's really difficult right now to determine if the company will have enough support from its shareholders and from the regulator to fully turn around the business without need for a special administration procedure or a nationalization or liquidation. So that I cannot tell.
Thank you, Eugenio. Let me get Andy White from the Consumer Council for Water into the conversation to tell us about what we are hearing on the ground with water suppliers, customers, and regulators. And of course, I might as well go back to the issue about price hike?
Thanks for having me on the podcast. So I think, you know, what we've seen in recent years is a really challenging environment. The water customers are, like anybody else, struggling to make ends meet and manage their household bills. We know from recent work published by Citizens Advice that there's around 5 million households that are in negative budget. So the money going out every month is more than the money coming in. And there's a further 2.35 million that Citizens Advice describe as living on empty. And they're only managing to hold things together by making significant sacrifices on essentials like food and heating during the winter. So really, really difficult environment. The research that we've that ourselves and Ofwat have undertaken in the sector show a similar picture for water. About 18% of customers say that they're struggling to pay their water bills. Now, they are tend to be a lower bill than most others in terms of the household expenditure. So the average bill is now around £448 a year. But obviously that can vary quite considerably depending on where you live and also if you have a meter or you don't have a meter and how much water you use, so family size and water usage needs. And the other thing that we've seen is whilst bills have been fairly stable over recent years, in the last couple of years we've seen some increases due to inflation, because one of the factors which is built into the price mechanism, which determines how much water companies are allowed to charge, is the rate of inflation. So just by the virtue of the fact that the inflation rate has been higher, companies have been able to build that into their bills over and above the price limits previously set by Ofwat for the period. And therefore, you know, that's put extra strain on customers.
You are the voice of, I suppose, customers and their waters. Do you feel you're being heard? Or are we seeing any changes as due to the fact that your voice being heard?
Yeah, I think a really positive thing is that whilst we've had a sort of really kind of difficult time and things have never been worse, in another respect, things have never been better insofar as we've done a lot of work over the last decade with water companies to ensure that they improved the way that they dealt with people who were struggling to pay. Previously, it was very much a case of they would try and crudely determine who was a can't pay customer or a won't pay customer. And, you know, they'd be able to offer a little bit of help or forbearance if they determined you were a can't pay customer. If you're a won't pay customer, they would move quickly to sort of act to take action to recover the debt. I think there's a much bigger picture now and companies are doing much more to identify people's circumstances early on before they get into difficulties, recognise that actually, you know, there are people struggling to afford the bills that are not showing up because they're at that stage, they're still paying their bills, but they are making those sacrifices elsewhere in order to do that. And we were very keen at the Consumer Council for Water to make sure that water companies address that. And one of the things that led to was the introduction of social tariff schemes, which give lower bills to households who are on, you know, lower incomes. And that has grown, you know, significantly over the last 10 years from a zero starting point with nobody getting that help to a position now where we've got about 1.4 million households getting that help. And a value of over sort of £200 million being returned to customers through lower bills, recognising their circumstances and the fact that they're less likely to be able to pay. We've also worked with them to share good practice in other areas and other aspects of the support that they provide to make sure that they really are offering the range of schemes that address people's different circumstances. And then the other key part is actually getting the message across to customers that help is available and that they can trust them and that they should be seeking help from their water company if they're struggling to pay, rather than hiding away from them because they fear that they'll only be chasing them for the debt and not recognising their circumstances. And we were privileged to be given the role by government in 2021 One, to undertake an independent review of water affordability support in England and Wales. And we conducted that and came out with a series of recommendations about how things could further be improved. So companies were well on the way to implementing those recommendations and making things better when the cost of living crisis really hit. So I think in many ways that's helped them weather that storm, and, you know, help customers get the need, the help they need. So there's more customer need out there, but actually that there is an ability, much bigger ability for companies to help that and for more customers to reach out and get that help. So as a result of that, what we've actually seen is that the debt to water companies is not rising. It's not over that cost of living crisis seen any significant rises. Companies are all reporting to us that they're seeing more people reach out for help. You might see signs of financial stress, but that overall debt picture has not been one that has significantly risen over that time. And I think hopefully that reflects a lot of the good work that we've done with companies to try and get them into a position to be able to meet the needs of customers under these really challenging circumstances.
Andy, I'm sure you've mentioned a number of reports. You mentioned Citizen Advice, and of course there's Step Change and others who are pretty much laying similar kind of pattern, and that is, you know, gas bills are rising, electricity bills have risen, council tax no doubt is also accumulating, and a water bill is just another one. So as a result, any companies are unable to recover their debts. Those debts no doubt become bad debts, and inevitably we'll have year on year where debts have not been recovered. What does that say about our nations if we are living on debt on various stratum, I guess?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the measures that companies have put in place have helped protect and insulate from that to a degree, but inevitably there is a growing number, and potentially if we're going to see very significant price increases in water over the next 5 years, which all the indicators are pointing to, then we need to do even more in this space to make sure that people are protected from that. You know, at the moment, Ofwat as regulator allows within bills an amount that recognises that not everyone will pay, and therefore there is a bad debt cost. So that's built into companies. And obviously those that are good at managing that and actually overperform in that respect, they get to keep extra profit. Those that are poor in that space and debt is higher than has been anticipated by the regulator, then there is a risk to their profitability as a result of that. So really important for customers, really important for companies to get a handle on this. And I think, you know, the key thing is we've got an opportunity now before the next price reviews take effect in 2025 to get in place all the measures that we need to support customers so that we don't see more people falling into debt. We're actually helping them up front to support them, keep them paying, but keep them paying an affordable amount that they can manage, and with tools there to help them over short-term difficulties such as payment breaks. If they do get into debt, to have schemes to clear that, so pay a contribution to the debt that they pay off to clear that debt quicker, because you're effectively sort of matching the payments that they're making. It's lots of things there that water companies can be doing to try and ensure that we don't end up in this cycle of debt.
So Andy, but what forms of discussion have you been having and taking part in to raise concerns of these consumers?
So we have constant dialogue with both the water companies, stakeholders and government to try and ensure that the environment is right to support customers. Principally, as I say, we undertook the review in 2021, which made those recommendations. Water companies have been implementing that, so we've been monitoring their implementation of those. We've been working with government. One of the key recommendations from the review was for the introduction of a single social tariff scheme. At the moment, whilst the social tariff schemes are doing great and supporting customers, they could be better because we've got different systems in different parts of the country. So depending on which water company you're with will depend on whether you're eligible for help and what that help is. We want to see a single scheme Which ensures that we can end water poverty. And by that, we mean that no one should be spending more than 5% of their income on water charges. So we made that recommendation. We worked with government and stakeholders towards the implementation of that, but then that was ended by government. So we really want to see that back on the agenda now and taken forward, because that's really going to be necessary to put us in a position to support customers and have that safety net for them, given the potential bill rises that are on the horizon, in order to fund a significant environmental improvement program and in investing in the sustainability of the industry.
In terms of the increase in price, what is the position of Consumer Council for Water? Thank you, Andy. Thank you for taking part. And for those who are listening on Debt Talk and want to share your experience on Debt Talk, you can get in touch with me on former Twitter, Your Dr. Debt, or email ripon.ray@yourdrdebt.com. Let me go back to Eugenio and Andy to get their feedback and, most importantly, their top tips, really, so they can help professionals who are listening and campaigners who are hearing how to move forward, knowing that there is a potential general election at stake here on this subject, water bills and UK. So let me start with Eugenio from Holloway University.
I'm not the consumer's voice, Andy is, so I can only echo the points that he made. From a legal perspective, I think that there will be a lot of debate, as you mentioned, Ripo, in the running up of this, the national elections on what to do next with water companies. Because even if it's now Thames Water that is hitting the news, as you remembered at the very beginning of this podcast, it's several water companies that are struggling financially. So we needed to find a comprehensive solutions for dealing with this matter, which is not simply a financial issue. It's also about, the environment we live in. And it's also about people's lives, because a lot of workers are employed by these companies. So, my only advice would be for citizens to look at proposals and think about what's in the best interest of this country long term, not simply short term. Short term, there might be solutions that allow taxpayers to deal with these problems in the most efficient manner, but long term, these problems might be simply kicked down the road, and we will have to spend much more money long term to deal with issues if they're not dealt with properly right now. So I'm not advocating for one solution or another one, but I think that some of the points that Andy made should actually enter into the debate of what to do next for water companies. And I think that ensuring that water is still kind of affordable, because we are speaking of quite significant increases. 5%, up to 5% of somebody's income is quite a significant figure for most people, especially those who have mortgages and other commitments with DBLs and so on and so forth. So ensuring the affordability of water is one of the challenges of definitely the next government. And I would urge everyone to look at this problem on a long-term sustainable perspective rather than on a short-term basis.
So I think, it's really important. One thing we found when we did the affordability review was collaboration was key. We work with lots of other stakeholders who have that same interest in terms of making sure that households can afford to pay their bills. We work with them to make sure that we're all on the same page in how we achieve that, and got their support for the proposal for the single social tariff. So we're now in a position where we almost don't need to be the ones advocating for that, because whoever you speak to, whether it's Citizens Advice or National Energy Action, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying we need a single social tariff for the future to make sure that the water bills are affordable. So that power of us all coming together and saying the same thing is vital. I think the other thing that came through clearly from that process was that having a really solid evidence base in making those arguments is important. You need to be able to show to government, to companies, what the current problem is and what is likely to happen in future and how you can address that. And I think it's about advancing solutions as well as pointing to the problems. So, really Identifying not just what's going wrong at the moment, but how that can be improved, and to showing really in a really tangible way what the benefits of will be for everyone concerned, customers, government, and the water sector.
Thank you. And I want to thank my panel members for giving their, no doubt, precious time out of their busy schedules and their lives on the subject, UK Waters and our bills. My next podcast is going to be on leasehold charges. I just want to say thank you for listening to Debt Talk Podcast with me, your host, Rippon Ray.